It's showtime.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
You know, the right to bear arms is because that's the last form of defense against tyranny.
Washington is fundamentally corrupt. There are more words in the IRS code than there are in the Bible.
Made in America, heard round the world. You're listening to Blunt Force Truth. I'm Chuck Woolery, along with my co-host, Mark Young. And I'm outraged. I'm totally outraged because
why are you outraged?
Well, I'm just outraged because it's the place to be today. Isn't everybody outraged and marching and carrying signs and screaming at each other and yelling? And we're so divided and so divisive. And Melissa Milano is charging. she's like a battery charger. She just keeps plugging it in.
Aren't you supposed to be yelling, I'm mad as hell?
Yeah, that's right. I'm not going to take it anymore.
Exactly. But you're a happy warrior.
I am. You know, I did this Fox and Friends episode the other day with Ducey and Brian Kilmeade and what's her name? Oh, I love her, too. She's really sweet.
You really love old what's her name.
I mean, well, when you get to my age, everybody is half what's his name and what's her name. So
whatever her name was, she was great.
But anyway, we were talking about Melissa Milano and as you put it, will and disgrace, and what they're doing, and it's kind of interesting because it's McCarthyism, not in reverse. It's just McCarthyism. McCarthy, if you're not familiar with, if you're younger in the audience, you may not be familiar with Senator McCarthy from Wisconsin. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. Represented by none other than Richard Nixon.
Right, and. He went into Congress and he was trying to ferret out. This is into the 50s and just after the Second World War when we really had a break with Stalin because he was a madman. And so McCarthy really thought that Hollywood was full of communists.
He was kind of right.
And oddly enough, he was right to a certain degree. And so they started bringing them into the Senate and questioning them. And they created what was called a blacklist. And those people who, Charlie Chaplin was one of them. There were a lot of foreign people who were in Hollywood working as directors and screenwriters and things like that. And they got dinged by McCarthy. If you even showed up at a meeting, like a communist meeting, which there were a lot of them going on, then you were part of that cabal that was brought in and questioned. And so Hollywood really hated the Republicans, and in fact Senator McCarthy for shining this light on their beloved Hollywood. And so this is a very strong word, and I probably shouldn't use this, but I can't think of anything else. It was kind of became their Holocaust. That's where the turning point was, where Hollywood went full anti-American. And prior to that, they had been, you know, semi-American. There were a lot of people there who were very, very patriotic and so on. But they were now anti-patriots. And this is the point that it all started to swing the other way. And they became anti-patriots. They started doing a lot of anti-American things, movies and television. And it was very subtle at first. And it's even kind of subtle now. You got to look for it. But that's when it all started, and this is what was born out of that era in the 50s. So we're watching everything in reverse from McCarthyism with Melissa Milano and many other people, directors and producers, studio heads.
Oh yeah, Rob Reiner. I mean,
yeah, a lot of actors because they have, you know, they're the face of it.
Rob Reiner is a brilliant director.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about it. I knew his dad and mom really well. I did not know Rob that well. I admit him. But his dad, his mother, Estelle, and his dad was hysterically funny and a very talented man. And I liked both of them very much. They were friends. So, but Rob is not a friend of mine.
No.
Well, I met him in an airport one time. I walked through and I saw him, and I had seen Princess Bride, and I thought that was brilliant. It was a brilliant movie. And I stopped and talked to him. I said, geez, you know, and so on. And he was just abrupt. And that was before you and I really even started doing any of this stuff. He was not very friendly at all.
Now, you talk about
maybe he sensed that conservatism in me. I don't know.
You talk about these people would be in trouble if they went to a communist meeting.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, if they go to a communist meeting, they'll get a lifetime achievement award.
Well, Mark, here's the really interesting thing to me is that the left is constantly calling us Nazis and all of this kind of stuff. The Nazi Party was socialist. The Communist Party is socialist. The Democrat Party, 99%, if not 100% people running, I'm not talking about the base, but people running, are socialist. Mm-hmm. So you've got socialists calling conservatives, which are constitutionalists, socialists, and it doesn't fit at all. It's like a bad suit. It just doesn't fit us.
And rules for radicals, buddy. Call the other side. Accuse the other side of what you're doing.
Yeah, I know. But I don't think most people, I could be mistaken, but I don't think most people are aware of that. They think that Nazism, because they've been told forever that Nazis were right wing and right this and right that. And they weren't at all. They were left. They were a product of the left.
Right. Hitler was the head of the German Socialist Union.
I know. It's like they just totally ignore what's right in front of you. It's right in the name Nazi.
Have you noticed, and I know you've noticed this, darn near every corrupt political thought started in Germany.
Oh, have I ever noticed? I mean, you know me, I'm kind of a historian in a way, and I've gone back and studied Hegel, who was the start of the progressive movement that came out of Germany. Political correctness came out of the Frankfurt School in Germany. You're exactly right. Almost every bad idea that has kind of permeated the ideology of the world was born in Germany.
It's continuing to do that.
It is. It is. It's really interesting. You're right.
Bernie Sanders this weekend, I'm going to come back to the Will and Grace thing in a minute, but Bernie Sanders this weekend came out and said he wants to support a tax on meat.
Yeah.
To get, because Bernie, Dr. Scientist Bernie, has decided that growing farm animals is the number one cause of global warming or global cooling or climate change, whatever you like to have. Now, here's the thing. His tax on meat, he's copying Germany because Germany has now implemented that.
Right. Yeah. Well, all of Europe are socialists, which is why they're in trouble financially, and we're not at this point. And they don't like us. They loved Obama because he was one of them. They don't like Trump because he's not one of them. He's not a globalist. The Democrat Party is very global. There are a lot of people in the Republican Party who are leaders in that party who are globalists. Trump is not one of them. He's nationalist. So the minute you put nationalist and Trump together, you get Nazi.
Yeah, both of the Bushes were globalists.
Exactly. Yes,
John McCain was a globalist.
He was indeed.
So there are two sections of the Republican Party, clearly. Yeah. Just as there are two sections of the Democrat Party, but that's more and more becoming, you know, a 90-10 situation.
It is. It's lopsided on the left, but it's just interesting how all this stuff comes together. And then you have the power, if you will, of the mainstream media reinforcing all of these bad ideas. They're not only bad ideas, but they're anti-American ideas. And you have them reinforcing that and then reinforcing the whole Nazi thing and all that kind of stuff. So people kind of walk away confused and say, so Republicans are Nazis? Is that what it is? If you voted for Trump, you're a Nazi? And yet Nazis were socialist, and I can't. But most people don't realize that Nazis were socialist because they've been sold since the Second World War by the left that Nazism was nationalism, and nationalism is right. So everybody on the right are nationalists, and they're Nazis.
Well, they flipped into fascist and Nazi because racist was losing its sting.
Yeah, well, you know, when you combine the two, boy, I mean, it's just the hyperbole is off the hook.
They needed a new pejorative. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The next one is going to be Satan worshipers. Because what's left?
You know, I'm watching a new series It's called Carnival Row. And I'm into about the sixth episode of it. And I'm watching everything that's happening, taking place in a mythical place that's very much like England, and very much like London, and very much like the 18th century, just as we're going into the 19th century. And all of these odd people, there's a group called Pucks, and the Pucks are hooved animals who are look like men, but they got hooves for feet and they have horns on their head and stuff. And then you have the fairies, or the whatever they're called anyway. They're winged creatures who look like men, but they have wings on their back and they can fly and do all this kind of stuff. And so because of the difference, there's all this racism going on. So they've encapsulated in this new series racism and women without any power at all, because it's the 18th century and men have all the power. And I'll give you an example of something.
So it's a metaphor. It's metaphorically written.
Exactly. So it's just to reinforce what they think the world is today. And I'll give you an example of this. George Washington was one of the wealthiest men in America. Are you aware
wealthiest,
of it?
Wealthiest president until Trump.
Right.
Of all presidents.
That's right. And why was he wealthy?
Well, because he was a businessman.
No, he wasn't. That's part of it, but that's not what he built his wealth on.
Well, he was a big landowner. He was a big manufacturer of whiskey.
Why? Because he married a woman who was wealthy. She was one of the wealthiest families in America.
Well, that kicked it off. That's for sure.
Exactly right. So on this premise, he didn't deserve to be wealthy. And back in those days, women didn't have power. They really didn't have power. If you married a woman who was wealthy, you inherited all her wealth as her husband. She, at that point, it's like, I'll give you another example of how
it's
this
the premise
goes on
of Downton Abbey, by the way, the beginning of Downton Abbey.
I'll give you another example. Country clubs. If you belong to Palm Beach Country Club, I'm not going to mention the name of it. There's a couple of country clubs in Palm Beach, Florida, and in Los Angeles that are only male country clubs, okay, where you go play golf with all the guys.
L.A. Now, Country Club.
And the country club. So, obviously, your family is part of that, that membership.
Right.
But it cannot be transferred to the wife to this day. Because they're men's clubs.
No, that's true. I told you, my uncle was member 3 at the L.A. Country Club.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. There's perfect. Bel Air was the same way. I don't think Bel Air is that way anymore, but it was. But, I mean, this kind of stuff went on for the longest time. And it's like these people want us to live in the past when things were not equal, in order to prove that we're not equal today, when in fact we have progressed, using the word progressive, but have progressed so far that this stuff, it's stuff of the past. It's really historical. It's not current at all. That's not how we operate today.
But to the liberal left, the country is irredeemable.
To the liberal left, we live in the 17 or 16 or 15 or 1800s.
Right, because we can never correct a mistake. We can never be redeemed. We will always be slave owners. We will always be sexist. We will always be stealing land from the Indians.
Yeah.
There's just no way to fix it.
Right. So,
So go back to this Hollywood thing for a minute. So, so we'll start off with Deborah Messing.
That's the woman who's part of Will and Grace.
Yeah, she's the disgrace.
I have to admit, I really do have to admit that I don't know these people. I'm really not even familiar with the show. I don't watch comedy shows in syndication. I just don't look at them on networks either, because, number one, I don't think they're funny. That's to me. That's personally for me. A lot of people may enjoy them and think they're just hysterical.
So this is a show from the 90s that was successful, and it came out, and the show is about her and her gay male roommate, played by Eric McCormick. Mm-hmm. And they're roommates, and he's a successful gay lawyer. Mm-hmm. So the idea behind this show was it was breaking stereotypes.
Okay.
Because he was a successful corporate lawyer and not a hairdresser.
All right.
So they brought the show back after President Trump won. NBC brought the show back for the sole purpose of making an anti-Trump show. They did that with this, and CBS did it with what's the name of that show? Murphy Brown.
Yeah.
They both brought old 90s series back for the purpose of attacking the president. Now, first off, both the series are done.
So, explain what do you mean by both the series are done?
They're both wrapped up. They're off the air because it's not a moneymaker.
So they failed is what you're saying.
Yeah, they're failed shows.
Okay, they're failed. Which means America didn't accept the premise and didn't like the show, or they would still be on the air.
No, what America wanted was Roseanne being pro-Trump.
You know, I'm watching these ads for the Conners are coming back, the hit show of last year. Well, the only reason a hit show of a year ago or 2 years because Roseanne was on the show,
and it was a huge hit. It's not a hit show. It's not a hit show now.
Well, no, it's not the same show without her. She drove the show, and they know that.
Just trying to keep it alive. So, so she comes out and says that any black person who voted for President Trump is mentally ill.
Yeah, she picked this up off a billboard from a church in Alabama, I think.
Right.
It was like a sign that said all black people who vote for President Trump are mentally ill. And then on the flip side of it, it said all white people that vote for President Trump are racist.
So that's her thing. Now, Eric McCormick comes out. He gets on Twitter and puts out a post. He's the Will.
Right.
And Will and Grace. He puts out a comment that he wants a list of everyone who's going to attend President Trump's Hollywood fundraiser so that they will know who to refuse to work with in the future.
Now, this is interesting.
That's McCarthyism.
This is interesting. I worked in Hollywood for 45 years. You know that. I had 6 hit shows. I worked with. There's hardly a person who's a grip or directors, whatever capacity they were in, that I have not worked with. I was in a position of certain authority, like on Love Connection. I mean, I drove the show. I wasn't a partner on the show. But
you were the star of the show. You got what you wanted.
But I could say, I don't want to work with this person, and I want this person instead because I agree with them ideologically. I could have done that very easily. I never did that. No, I judge people on their talent, what they brought to the floor, whatever they did. That's all I cared about.
And some of these left-wing people are very talented.
Absolutely, they're talented. And by the way, a lot of them I liked a lot. Whether they like me now or not is probably debatable, but I liked them, and I had no reason not to just because of their ideology. I didn't have to agree with them, but I also didn't have to bury them because of it. But that's what they do.
But the difference is we disagree with their thinking and their ideology. They hate us.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
we don't hate them. Right. We don't hate them. Mm-hmm. And I know you and I both look at people with these beliefs, not in hate, but in astonishment of why do you think this way?
I know. I really understand Hollywood.
And how can I help you not think this way anymore?
That you can't do.
How can I fix this? Yeah. Now, Alyssa Milano.
Because it is an emotional knee-jerk reaction. It has nothing to do with common sense.
Now, this one's going to kill you. Alyssa Milano has issued a challenge to Ted Cruz to debate him on gun control.
Oh, my Lord. Can you even imagine?
Can you picture this?
No.
And Ted has accepted.
I hope they televise this. This is going to be far.
That's
more
the idea. They're going to live stream it.
It's going to be more interesting than 10 hours of climate change with everybody that agrees with each other. A climate change debate on with everyone that agrees.
My biggest concern is how does Ted make it out of this without being accused of being a bully or a sexist?
He won't. Not from their perspective.
I mean, Ted's going to be very polite and very businesslike.
Yeah. And what was Ted Cruz has a certain thing. Who was it that gave it? His professor in college,
Alan Dershowitz.
Alan Dershowitz said that Ted Cruz was probably one of the best debaters that he ever taught.
He said he was the smartest student he ever had.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, so obviously Alyssa Milano's his equal.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, she's an actress who has deep feelings. But fine, that's great. If she's challenged him to this, then it will expose her. And you're right. He will end up being a bully and a brute because he'll be right.
But how disconnected from reality are you when you think you can debate a legal genius mm-hmm. of the level of Ted Cruz?
Well, you know, it's disconnected from reality. That's right. You know, in the 1700s, there was the most popular book, I guess, in America and maybe throughout part of the world, was Thomas Paine's book called Common Sense.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently nothing changes under the sun, as the Bible says. And I guess common sense is just very rare and hard to find. And people who don't have it think they're geniuses. And people who do think the people who don't are idiots.
Well, let me give you this. Here's common sense. Conservatives are racist, right?
Well, that's what the left says.
And what else are
conservatives? And by the way, there are a lot of people on the right that don't like conservatives either, but go ahead.
Now, what else are conservatives besides for being racist? They're anti-abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the biggest recipient of abortions every year in America? Black women.
Well, look, I'm watching this thing on CNN. I don't know whether you saw this or not, but they're going back through the history of the Democrats and Republicans and how bad the Republicans are and everything. And they finally reach eugenics. And they talk about eugenics and it's assault on the black community and it's to wipe them out. It's really where Hitler got his idea was from the eugenics program in the United States.
Yeah, Margaret Sanger and Planned Parenthood.
But the incredible part is they go through this whole eugenics thing and they never mention Margaret Sanger's name.
And she created it.
And then she, out of that creation came Planned Parenthood. And that's all on Margaret Sanger, who is Hillary Clinton's hero, one of her heroes, and the left's heroes.
Right, but think of the common sense. Just, this is what I'm saying. Just think for a minute, people. If conservatives are against black people, why are they trying to stop abortions of black babies?
Well, here, you know, there's another attack going on that I find very interesting, and is this, it's this divisive race thing that's going on with the left, blaming Trump and blaming the right for it, when in fact they're the ones who perpetrate it and continue it. They are absolutely frozen in fear that they are going to lose the black vote, that blacks are going to take a look at, you know, what's happening in their community, what's happening in their pocketbooks, and they're going to like Trump. And he's done more for them than the Democrat Party has for 50, 60 years. And they know it. And so they have to hide it. They have to disguise it and then start calling everybody on the right racist and then make black people feel like they can't even stand up in their own community. They are literally just stopping free speech and free thinking among the black community, because you will be so paralyzed by, you know, how could you possibly vote for a racist?
Well, look what they're doing to Dave Chappelle right now.
I know. And Dave Chappelle is actually hitting back. I mean, he's actually he's one of the few funny comedians out there. I never thought I'd say that, but he truly is.
Now, check this out. How did this happen? Rotten Tomatoes. So you know who Rotten Tomatoes is?
Yeah, they grade movies and
TV shows and stuff, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Rotten Tomatoes gave Dave Chappelle's recent Netflix, I think it's Netflix special, a zero.
Oh.
Now, how did that happen? How did the public all vote it a zero?
You know, the funny thing is they were willing to pay him at one time some, you know, millions and millions
like
of dollars.
20 million.
And he turned it down.
Well, he's getting a ton of money now.
Well, good for him.
But his show rates a zero on Rotten Tomatoes.
You know, the deck is truly stacked against us. There's no question about it. And
oh,
I know that
insane.
We're on the edge and we're the minority, and that's okay. I always go back and think about, I looked at something that said online somewhere that said black conservatives. Who were black conservatives? And they gave this long list of people. Well, half of them, by you and my standards, aren't conservatives at all.
Well, no.
They're just Republicans. Now, if you get the same group of white people, you're going to find the same thing.
Yeah, Joe Scarborough, they claim, is a conservative.
Exactly. I mean, people like that.
He's a lunatic.
Navarro on CNBC or on MSNBC.
Right. Joe Walsh.
Yeah, I mean, these people aren't conservatives.
Bill Kristol.
So the point is, in order to conflate and confuse, they have said everybody on the right are conservatives, which is just not true. We're probably the minority of the right. In fact, I know we are in the Senate, and I know we are in the Congress as well. So as long as you can conflate and confuse and say that everybody on the right is a conservative, then you got no hope. And so even, you know, and it crosses racial lines. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white. They still will, you know, give you the same moniker. It's very frustrating. It really is.
It's insane. Here's another common sense thing. Okay. So all Trump supporters are racist. Right? That's what the Democrats say.
That's what they say.
They also say all black people cannot be racist.
Well, I don't know how you get that. Of course they can. Anyway, but anybody can be racist.
But they claim that. Guys like Al Sharpton. I'd like to introduce you to a new type of podcast. And by new, I mean there's never been anything like this before, not in terms of scope or ambition. The show is called Living Beyond 120. Science proved that lifespan could exceed 120 years back in the 1960s. And the Bible first mentioned living to 120 years 6,000 years ago in the book of Genesis. But the question is, how do we get there? Living Beyond 120 tries to answer this question. The show is an exploration into human longevity and what it will take for us to live longer, healthier lives, featuring interviews with some of the most respected minds in longevity science and tackling big subjects like how the medical system, big pharma, and maybe even our own government don't want you to live longer. Living Beyond 120, it's hosted by me and my co-host, medical expert, Dr. Jeffrey Gladden. You'll find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast directory, and you can also listen to it at the website livingbeyond120.com. So, Chuck, let me give you another piece of common sense here. According to the Democrats, all Trump supporters are racist. Mm-hmm. Now, according to the Democrats, all black people cannot be racist. It is impossible to be a racist if you are a person of color. Mm-hmm. So what is a black Trump supporter?
Racist, according to them, or mentally ill. They're mentally ill. They have another category for them.
And this is what they've had to do. And you're right. They've created a new category.
Right.
Because, well, they can't be racist, but they're all racist. So they've got to be mentally disturbed. They've got to be insane. Mm-hmm. But that's not racist. It's not racist to call millions of black people mentally ill because they have diversity of thinking.
Well, you know, it's the game they play with words, and they've always done it.
They are the most undiverse people in the world because you cannot have diversity of thought.
I know.
You cannot challenge the phony science of climate change. You cannot challenge the phony science of gun control.
So the guy who created the Weather Channel was on with Brian Stelter on CNN, and I happened to catch that little piece, and he just buried Brian Stelter with science, just buried him. And
well, Brian Stelter kept saying, "Stop that science stuff."
Well, I'm not a scientist, so I can't really, you know, you just don't hear these debates at all. All you do is hear one side. And there are a lot of scientists out there, climate scientists, who completely disagree with this whole global warming and climate change crap that they're trying to, you know, get in your pocket for. And they just aren't allowed on. They're just not allowed on, period, because to them, in their minds, it's settled science, although they're not scientists, but they'll take the word of 95% of the people who make their money from the government promoting global warming. Because that's if they didn't promote it, well, they just wouldn't. The money is turned off.
It is. And that's the thing on science. This is not settled science, as the Democrats try to claim.
Very seldom is settled. It, most of the time, it's, you know, constantly looked at and re-looked at and so on. So
the term settled science in itself is anti-scientific. Mm-hmm. Because science is the constant pursuit of the truth. So nothing in science is settled. If settled science was a reality, we'd still be leeching people.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that this falls on deaf ears to people who aren't that interested in it, and it's just easier to go along with the status quo and whatever most of the people are saying. And that's what you get with the mainstream media. It's representative of what they believe most people are saying. And so they can control your future with what they tell you to think.
So, Chuck, we do a little segment on this show from time to time that we call Dumb Liberals.
Okay. We do?
Yes, we have previously done dumb liberal little shout-outs.
I'm just old enough to have forgotten, but go ahead.
Every once in a while, there is a liberal whose idiocy stands head and shoulders above the others.
Yes.
So this week, our story is
Who's our target this week?
Our story this week is a California millennial who wanted to burn the flag.
Uh-huh.
In the process, he ended up burning his father's house down.
Well, he should not have burned the flag in his bedroom. He should have burned it on the street, I guess.
This intoxicated 28-year-old Robert James Fimbreeze.
Oh, he was drunk at the time.
Was at his dad's vacant home when he wanted to burn the American flag in the driveway. But the blaze quickly spread to his father's nearby garage.
Yes.
When police and fire showed up, the garage was in complete and utter flames.
Mm-hmm.
And damage spread to his father's house. And the house was actually up for sale. It was a vacant house that his father was trying to sell. They arrested him, put him in jail under a $50,000 bail, according to police records.
Well, I have one that may not top that, but it certainly is good. And that is a councilman in Seattle, a black man who is a councilman in Seattle. They're trying to decide how to get the poop off the streets.
Yes.
And they just can't figure out what they're going to do. So finally, someone said, you know, the best way to do this is just take fire hoses and hose this stuff down.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
Hoses?
Exactly.
He's a racist. He's a black racist.
So now the city council is totally stymied because they can't use fire hoses because they're considered racist.
Now explain why hoses are racist.
Well, because back in the 50s, the Democrats in Alabama and Mississippi
would blast the blacks with hoses.
they were marching with hoses. Yeah. And so, you know, it's a racist. Of course, it's a Democrat racism. It's not a Republican racist.
Well,
but they fail to mention that. It's just much easier to go with the Republican.
Los Angeles now has more rats than it has people.
Yeah, I know.
But they don't.
Diseases are showing up that haven't shown up since the Middle Ages.
Oh, yeah, they got the bubonic plague coming back. They can't kill the rats because they have banned rat poison.
Oh, because it was killing pets or wild animals or what?
Well, they thought that if a mountain lion happened to come down into town.
Which they're prone to do.
Which they do frequently. So if a mountain lion came down and got into your garbage can or into your neighborhood and found the rat poison, it could hurt the mountain lion.
Well, save the mountain lions.
Save the rats.
Save the rats. Peanuts. Common sense. Common sense is not what dictates our world today.
So, Chuck, when I ride my motorcycle, you ride a motorcycle.
Yes, sir.
Do you ever feel unsafe?
Yes.
With other drivers around?
Absolutely.
Like every moment.
You know me. You kind of cruise down the highway. And I told you one time, I said, you know, you just kind of blithely go cruising down the highway, enjoying yourself, looking at the sights. I'm looking at every car that's possibly coming out of the road to kill me.
No, I do ride like that now.
Well, Deb, because you and I had this conversation.
Yes. And I do now ride, honestly, I do ride looking at the other cars and deciding, where am I going to dump the bike if this idiot runs me down?
That's exactly right. It does take a little pleasure out of it.
Does kill a little bit of the fun. But it has now come to my attention that if someone is driving next to us and makes us feel unsafe, we can sue them.
Ooh, who decided that? Makes us
I think this is like a cottage industry for you and I now. We're gonna be rich, buddy.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yes. Here's where the precedent. The precedent was made in the Pennsylvania courts.
Mm-hmm.
In Pennsylvania, a man, Stephen Kirchner.
Not just any man.
Stephen Kirchner, which is probably his biggest problem, that his name was Kirchner. That probably already put him at a disadvantage.
I knew somebody in L.A. named Kirchner, but I can't remember who it was.
Well, I'm thinking the president's son-in-law.
Oh, that's okay.
Anyway, Stephen Kirchner made a gesture at his neighbor.
Oh, let me guess. I know what this is. When he went like this?
Yes, he pointed a finger at him
like a gun. Yeah.
Needless to say, the neighbor said that he felt threatened.
Mm-hmm.
He feared for his life.
Yeah, it was a gesture that was,
you know. Because you never know when that finger is going to go off.
Finger is going to go off any minute. You never know. You're right.
That finger could go off and you could, what, poke an eye out if that finger took off.
You could poke an eye out.
So he was fined $100. He was able to sue him for $100. So I'm thinking.
He was able to sue this guy for $100 for pointing a finger at him?
And, yes. Uh-huh. So I'm thinking.
Think if he'd been a student in school, he'd been excommunicated forever.
I'm thinking, if I could get $100 from each person that makes me feel unsafe and uncomfortable while riding a motorcycle, I could easily make $10,000 a day.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a great deal. London Mayor Sadiq Khan.
Why would they even elect this guy? I don't get this. I mean, this guy's nuts.
Well, he think of the way he's controlled crime in London.
Well, please. It's a joke.
Well, they're not shooting each other.
Well, no, they're stabbing each other now.
Exactly. You
know, it's bricks and rocks and stabbing and, I mean, good Lord.
Because, Chuck, a knife stab is so much more civilized than being shot by a gun.
This accommodation of groups of people that are trying to kill you is just beyond belief to me.
It's more civilized.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And actually, I would rather be shot than stabbed with a big knife, to be honest with you. But
I would rather not involve my body with either one.
Yeah, but knives are just, that's a very personal attack, too. Mm-hmm. But anyways, he has now come out and attacked President Trump for the way he is managing Hurricane Dorian.
You can't manage a hurricane.
You can nuke him.
That was the stupidest thing I've ever done in my life. And the press ran with that as if Trump was really serious about dropping a nuclear device in the middle of the hurricane. Oh, my God.
I think we ought to give it a shot.
Yeah, really.
What the heck? It's a hurricane. I mean, what do we got to lose?
I don't know.
I mean,
there's so much fake news going on. I mean, the one thing that he's absolutely exposed is how biased and fake the news is. And I applaud him for that, because people are definitely catching on. And the news media, there are a lot of articles that have been written lately in the New York Times and Washington Post by different editorial people who have said they are suffering from Trump fatigue. They're just every day, it just piles on one thing after another. And they're just fatigued with it. They're tired of it. And they just don't know what to do. But they said, if we're tired of it, then the people who support Trump have to be tired of it too. So they're fatigued as well. And I mean, I got news for you. We're not fatigued at all.
I'm fake news fatigued.
Well, you're right. That's what they're talking about. I mean, they can't control this man, and they've always been able to control everyone in the past. The media has always controlled Republicans. They've been able to threaten them, do things with them. Trump could care. I am truly amazed at how incredibly resilient he is. I don't know how he does it, but he does it extraordinarily well.
So, as you know, we had another mass shooting in your state, in Texas.
I saw that, yes.
The first thing about that mass shooting is the guy failed a background check.
Yeah, they refused to give his name out forever. I mean, they wouldn't do it. And
we do have his name, but I'm not going to give him any fame.
Yeah, give him any fame.
But we do have his name.
Yeah, go ahead.
He failed a background check. Mm-hmm. So the idea of background checks are going to solve the problem wouldn't have solved the problem because the guy has a criminal history. He was banned from owning guns.
You know, it's a fascinating dance that these anti-gun people do. It's always the gun. It's never the person behind the gun. It's gun violence. It's not people who are violent who hold guns. So it's the gun's fault, which is stupid. It makes absolutely no sense at all. And then you find out later that every law that they would enforce and put into practice would have done nothing to prevent these things. And no one seems to want to deal with what the root cause of most of these shootings are. And I say it's mostly criminals, number one. And then people who are mentally ill and criminals, number two. And it seems like everybody just avoids that and goes after the gun instead of the root cause of what drives these people to do it. And in the meantime, the mainstream media and tack, all of them, are causing division every day and rubbing raw the wounds of racism and things like that all every day. And turning people against each other every day. And they're wondering why this stuff is happening. And I think there's a great deal of responsibility that falls on the media. And they refuse to take any part of it because they can pass it off on Trump.
Well, our friend John Lott sent me something last night mm-hmm. to use. The left is claiming that gun experts... You know, by polling gun experts, we find out that gun experts want to ban guns, want to ban AR-looking scary guns. Mm-hmm. Joe Biden came out, by the way, and said he wants to ban any magazine that holds more than one bullet.
Yeah, let's get one thing straight. An AR-15 is nothing but a Glock 9mm, maybe not the same.
It's a 223. It's actually a 22.
Okay, it's a 22 with a long barrel. That's all it is. It's a semi-automatic weapon, just like
it's a varmint rifle.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, there's no question it can do a lot of damage. There's no question about that. But if the person who's holding it is the one doing the damage.
Yeah, the point is the AR-15, I mean, I'm watching people on Twitter this weekend. No one has the right to own an AR-15.
Well, that's ridiculous.
And then their comment is, no one has a right to have weapons of war. What military would take an AR-15 into a battlefield?
Well, none.
Of course not.
It's not a weapon of war.
Right. You would never use that in a military setting. You'd get your head blown off.
I know.
But anyways, what I was looking at here is what John sent was... It gets back to figures don't lie, but liars figure. Mm-hmm. The reason they're saying that there is, and this is just like climate change. The reason they're saying there's a consensus of experts who want to have gun control.
Always a consensus of experts.
Is because there are three groups of people that should be polled for gun control. Criminologists, okay, economists, and public health officials.
Public health officials, meaning?
Psychologists, doctors, therapists, so on and so forth. They're only polling the health officials, and they're leaving the criminologists and the economists out of the equations. Mm-hmm. When you add the criminologists and the economists back into your polling data, the polling data completely reverses.
And so what does it show?
It shows that they believe overall, when you include people who are criminologists, people who study crime,
yes,
that gun control measures, restrictions on guns, and background checks will have no effect on stopping mass shootings.
Okay, here's the thing. Since these have become kind of the modern day fury of people who are taking whatever their problems are out on mass theaters and Walmart and places like that, traffic. What what can we do to stop it? Does anybody know? Does anybody have an idea that that would be effective?
First off, I'm just giving you my opinion. I think there is a cost to living in a free society.
There is a cost to living in a free society. There's no question about it. You have the freedom to say and do just about anything you want to within the confines of the law. These people are outside of the law. So how do you stop it?
Chuck, I'm going to take you back for a minute to, I want you to think back to the 60s and 70s. Mm-hmm. Back in the 60s and 70s, how many mental health institutions were around where you lived?
I was going to ask you, that was my next question, was, and I'm going to give you an example of something. We have this homeless problem.
Correct.
Okay, so I was looking at a situation in California. I remember, I think it was in the 80s, they started building houses or creating environments of houses that were affordable to people who were homeless. And they began putting all of these homeless people in these houses. And it was a gradual process. What they did was they'd take these big tents and they'd move them into tents first. And then they would individually put them into apartments in these housing units. And most of them left. They didn't want to be there.
Right.
They didn't want to be in these houses.
Because the majority of the homeless people have mental illness.
Well, why is that so difficult to say that? Because there are obviously homeless people that don't. It's a diverse community like anything else. So there are some who don't have mental illness, but there are a lot who do.
Because the left for years has been arguing that to say that someone has mental illness, unless they're a black Trump supporter, to tell people they're mentally ill is going to be a stigma for them. Mm-hmm. We don't want to stigmatize people. We want them to live on the streets.
Well, there's a stigma if you have over cancer, to tell somebody they have cancer?
In some circles, that is becoming considered to be a stigma now. So, like here in Detroit, we used to have the Northville Psychiatric Hospital. We had Eloise. These facilities are all torn down now. Mm-hmm. We don't have mental health institutions for criminally insane.
And why is that? Why is that? Why did they tear them all down?
Because it was an invasion of people's privacy. Mm-hmm. So I do believe the president is on track. Now, I'm not a big fan of the red flag laws.
This is unintended consequences, the result of unintended consequences.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, as far as what gun laws could be put in place that would stop this? Well, they're trying to say that banning an AR-15 is going to stop it.
It's not going to stop it.
Because so many of the shooters use an AR-15. Folks, the reason they use an AR-15 is because they're romanticizing the appearance of an AR-15 because it looks like an M16. But if someone wants to go to a Walmart and shoot a lot of people, as you know, Chuck, you can take a hunting rifle that uses the same .223 with the same 30 or 100 round magazine and do the exact same amount of damage. The only difference is it's going to have a wooden stock on it instead of a retractable stock.
Different. It's not just, it doesn't act differently. It just looks different.
It just looks different. But these people who are using these weapons are romanticizing the appearance of the weapon. Mm-hmm. But in reality, if you got rid of, well, in fact, I can prove to you that getting rid of AR-15s won't stop it. Back in the Clinton era, do you remember where magazines?
They got rid of AR-15s.
Right. AR-15s were banned, and you couldn't buy a magazine for a pistol with more than 10 rounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No effect.
No.
It did not stop it.
Well, I think it's until someone comes up with an alternative, it's going to be an argument of the left that they may win. I don't know. Maybe they will. Maybe they won't. But it's going to be their argument until you come up with, you know, it's like healthcare. The Republicans still haven't come up with a healthcare program to counter Medicare and all the Medicare for All and all that kind of stuff and Obamacare. So until you come up with an alternative that's viable, and of course, the problem is you may have an alternative that no one agrees with that it actually is viable that's never put into place.
If you if you look at Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and Beta O'Rourke, their plan is to go door to door and confiscate guns.
Hey, listen, if you listen to the top three people, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, and Joe Biden, all old white people, is this the Democrat Party?
Yeah, what they're all over 70.
What kind of party is this? What are they talking about?
Well, Elizabeth Warren self-identifies as an Indian, though.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying. I mean, it's ridiculous.
And I have no idea what Joe Biden... I mean, get this... And as I... My word is a Biden, as I stood before these brave men.
So what was that all about?
And I said... But the thing is, I said, we can afford to lose a vice president, but we can't afford to lose any more of these boys.
And the FOB and the FOB.
And the general asked me to pin that medal on him. And he said, no, sir, do not pin this medal on me, sir.
Oh, he said it with like, no, sir, do not pin this medal on me, sir.
Because he's a brave young man. And it never happened.
Well, so what was that all about? It was to aggrandize Joe Biden.
We can lose a vice president, but we can't lose more of these boys.
So Joe Biden was making himself out to be a hero just to go into the FOB.
And then his response to it when he was called out by it, even CNN called him out.
Well, I know it was ridiculous. I mean, it was so easily, you know, well, Washington Post is who did it first. So naturally CNN will follow.
Right. But his answer was, what does it matter?
Yes.
Why does this matter?
It's fallen angels.
I was making a point. Yeah. I was making a point of how brave these young men are. What does it matter?
I must tell you something. I hate the fact that we constantly are making fun of Joe Biden. I really want Joe Biden to be the guy that's running against Trump. I really want that. So please, let's start making Joe Biden more of a hero than a heel.
Well, what do you think? Do you think Joe Biden is just do you think dementia is setting in, or do you just think Joe Biden's a liar?
I think Joe Biden's the guy he's always been. I don't think he's any different. He's the guy. He's done this all of his entire career. He's in a safe spot. He was always in a safe spot in Pennsylvania. He's always been in government. I mean, hell, he graduated from college and went into government. He knows his place there. He's perfect for government.
Well, he did say that Barack Obama was the first black guy to come along who was articulate and clean.
He said so many things that, you know, that you can hold him to account, and nobody ever does.
Put y'all back in chains. And my favorite was
Uncle Joe. I think it was Stalin they called Uncle Joe. He was such a nice guy.
My favorite was when he said, you have to have a slight Indian accent to shop at a 7-Eleven.
Well, there's nothing racist about that, is there?
Oh, no.
I mean, it's just crazy, isn't it? I mean, we live in a crazy world. It's kind of entertaining in a way, but it's just nuts.
And then there's nothing racist about saying poor kids are just as bright as white kids.
I know.
Because apparently, if you're a poor kid, you're black.
He lives in it. He's walking through it every time he opens his mouth.
But think about that. You listening to him, you can't be a poor white kid.
No.
There's no poor white kids. Do you know that?
Well, on top of that, you got all these white people who are running for president on the left-hand side of our government, and they're all talking about how they hate white people. I mean, they're all white.
They all hate white people. Now, AOC put out a tweet during Hurricane Dorian.
Yeah.
She put out a tweet because she was commenting about people were in long lines trying to get gasoline in their cars.
Yeah.
And she said,
this is probably a good thing.
If you people had electric cars, you wouldn't be worried about a power outage and standing in line for gasoline.
Oh, my gosh. It's so ridiculously upside down. I mean, just amazing. They don't realize that coal and natural gas produces all the energy for electric cars.
I know, but if there's a power outage, where are you going to charge your electric car?
Yeah, well, with the sun. The sun's everything. Yeah, the sun is the answer to everything. They become sun worshipers.
Cory Booker has announced his new Green New Deal.
Oh, it's different? What is it
well,
like?
Well, you notice they all have their own Green New Deal now. Mm-hmm. Biden has his. Ocasio-Cortez. It's interesting because what's happened is they've all locked on to the Green New Deal, you know, hashtag. But they've all realized that $97 trillion is a non-starter.
Mm-hmm.
So Cory Booker's got a $3 trillion. Bernie Sanders has a $16 trillion.
Well, they talk about $1 trillion like it's just a throwaway amount of money. Like,
well, yeah. It is when it's not yours.
Everybody's got a trillion stuck away someplace, don't they?
Well, I know Chuck Woolery does.
Absolutely.
But and Biden has a $1.7 trillion. So Cory Booker's is... This is getting back to your point. He's going to mandate it that all automobiles must be zero emissions. It can be zero carbon footprint because electric cars don't have a carbon footprint, Chuck, because electricity is just made magically.
Unicorns and
rainbows.
Rainbows. It's again, there's no common sense behind this stuff at all. It's just, you know, it's what they believe. So you must
believe. It's amazing. New York City police. I love this as an ex-cop. New York City Police Union passed a no-confidence resolution of Bill de Blasio and the police chief.
Well, you know, it's really funny. If you watch Blue Bloods, which I do, I think it's one of the – and by the way, these people in Hollywood wouldn't work with Tom Selleck
or
John Voight. I mean, they're just not up to their
– right.
But anyway, if you watch Blue Bloods, you realize the commissioner is under the authority of the mayor. So he's pretty much has to do what the mayor wants him to do because the mayor is in charge. And the only way you can deny the mayor what he wants is to be fired. So this all falls on de Blasio, who is the most ineffective. I don't understand how he ever got a second term. I really don't. But it's, you know, that's New York. I don't know. I don't understand what they're doing.
Here's the police union's press release. Mayor de Blasio has demonized police officers and undermined our efforts to protect our city for years. Mm-hmm. Commissioner O'Neill has cravenly acquiesced to the mayor and his anti-cop allies.
And again, the commissioner works for the mayor, so he's got to do what the mayor tells him to do.
The unjust termination of police officer Daniel Pantello, who was fired for the chokehold on that guy, mm-hmm. was merely the final straw. Both men have displayed an appalling pattern of malfeasance and nonfeasance that disqualifies them from continuing to serve in their current offices. Neither can hope to regain the trust or confidence of New York City police officers. They must resign or be fired. And this is a letter they actually sent to the governor, asking the governor to fire them both, except the governor is Cuomo.
That's right. Cuomo the pious.
So what's the odds on getting a Cuomo to fire a de Blasio?
You know what? I just have to say, you know, it sounds insensitive, but you made your bed. You got to live in it. It's just the way it is. As unfair as it seems and everything else, you voted for these people. You put them in office. So stop complaining. You're going to work for them whether you like it or not. That's what the people wanted, and you serve the people. So good luck.
Well, we'll hit you with my last item, and that is the IG's report on Jim Comey.
Yeah. I know everybody's disappointed that they didn't make a case against Jim Comey, and I just tweeted out this morning that – You literally had a conspiracy to overthrow an election and a conspiracy to take away the will of the people from the president by a cabal of people who are head of agencies like the DOJ, the FBI, the intelligence agencies, to overthrow a president. I think, if I'm not mistaken, that is treason.
Here's the thing I'm concerned with.
I'm not an attorney, so I don't know that for sure, but that certainly sounds treasonous to me.
You would probably be able to say it's not treason because treason would mean that you were attempting to overthrow the government.
Well, he's the head of the government. elected by the people.
Based on any moral standard, I agree with you. But anyway, probably based on a legal standard, it probably doesn't hold up. Here's what I'm concerned about. What I'm concerned about, Chuck, is you just told 35,000 employees of the FBI that it's okay to steal memos, take it home, put it in your safe, leak it to the press. I mean, you just took the most powerful...
Dangerous. They said what he did, it was dangerous.
And you just told 35,000 federal employees, you can trash the American rights. You can do whatever you want, and we won't come after you.
And these are people that can put you under arrest and take away everything you have.
And these are people with a lot of power.
That's right.
I know of a case right now, which I will not say what the case is, but I know of a case right now with an FBI agent who is going after an individual with zero evidence. And this individual will probably spend $500,000 defending himself. He will be exonerated because there is no evidence, but he'll spend $500,000 in legal fees to prove his innocence over an overzealous FBI agent.
Well, you know, we'll see how this plays out in the end. I think what is there are two ways. One, it's ignored and these people get a pass. And the other is they'll be held accountable to some extent. I don't know what. And the media will just completely. I mean, look, they're still going with the Russian hoax. I mean, they're still trying to impeach Trump in the Congress. It's nuts. And yet they feel vindicated. They feel like they can do it. They feel like he's a liar and he's, you know, a horrible thing, horrible president, hasn't done anything for the country.
I got to tell you this. We saw some friends yesterday that I haven't seen in a while. And these are friends that have always been far left union supporting Democrats. To a point where I will never talk politics with them.
Right.
The husband brought up to me, you know what? I don't like this Trump guy, but I like what he's doing. This guy actually makes sense.
He does. That's why he communicates with the American people and they appreciate it.
Because I don't like the way he talks. I don't like the way he tweets attacks on people. But I think what he's doing with tariffs and taking on China and taking on the world, I think somebody had to have the guts to do it. So I think that not only do I think Trump will win in 2020, he's going to win by a bigger margin.
I hope that's true, because I think we need him as president at this point. I really do, from everything he's done in the past. And by that time, maybe the Republican Party will actually get behind him.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Seriously.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Well, Chuck, we need good luck with that. And we need to elect Republicans more in the Senate, more and take back the Congress or take back the House, and to give him support for, you know, bringing this nation back from its knees to its feet.
Well, moving forward, Chuck, we're going to be introducing people to a lot of these congressional and Senate candidates that are running against Democrats. So we're going to be talking to candidates running against Omar, running against AOC. Right. We have a candidate coming up who's going to, believe it or not, run against Nancy Pelosi.
Well, good luck with that.
We have, you know, so there's a lot of good Republican candidates out there. So some of these people can be defeated.
Look what's happened to San Francisco, this beautiful jewel.
It was a jewel of a city, and I love San Francisco, and it's a dump now.
It's gone. Just gone. I remember I was talking to somebody who said, I'm going to go to Paris. I said, you know, not now. Don't go to Paris now. Paris, you'll never see what it was, what it once was, ever. Don't go to London now. I had a business in London for a long time in the late 70s, early 80s. I don't want to go back. Unfortunately, because I love both these cities, I really enjoyed them. But not now.
They've been taken over by socialists.
Yes.
Socialism destroys everything that it touches.
Everything it touches.
There's no question about it. Chuck, I want to really thank people who have been going and leaving us reviews on iTunes.
No kidding. They really, a lot of people.
Oh, my God. These reviews just, I got to tell you, I've been reading some of these reviews, and these reviews are just humbling. people talking about the show. So, folks, we really appreciate it. We hope that if you haven't left a review, you'll go and leave one. Not because we want you to talk nice about us, but because, and, I mean, it is fun.
Well, I appreciate that, too, because I get, you know, when I did Fox the other day, I got a lot of really nice reviews on that very short interview, but there's a hurricane going on, but I really, really appreciate that.
So if you would go leave us a review. Also, I want to remind people, BluntForceTruth.com is the place to get daily news updates all day long. And you can find all kinds of really cool Blunt Force Truth swag in the Blunt Force Truth store.
Exactly right.
And Chuck, I also want to report to you that Blunt Force Truth is rapidly growing. Our audience is expanding literally by the week. I want to thank listeners for that.
I'm glad to hear that.
We touched, and this is mind-boggling. If you take our show and our Twitter accounts, we touched over 60 million people last month in total impressions.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Who knew? A game show host and an ad guy.
I know. It's amazing what the truth will do. <I know.
laughs> Well, listen, thanks, everybody, for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed the show. And please do leave us a review, a good one, if you will. And we'll see you next time on Blunt Force Truth.